A morning is it. Today's daf increases Chof Aleph. We start today the fifth parak of the Masechta. Topic of this parak primarily is going to be dam, the consumption of blood. Fun parak. What is it doing here in Krisus? So it has to do with the first Mishnah. First Mishnah enumerated the 36 Yisuri Kares, and so one of the Yisuri Kares is dam. So our Mishnayos are going to be using the opportunity to discuss the Yisur of dam. It's an Yisur Kares. It's one of those, it's in rarefied air. One of those Yisurim in the Torah where not only is there an Yisur Achila, but coupled with the Yisur Achila, there's also going to be an Onish of Kares. There are not that many things out there. Most of them have to do with Karbanos. If you go back to the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the Masechta, Pegel Noser Tamei. So those are Yisur Achila that's going to have with it an Yisur of Kares, a Chiyuv of Kares. But in terms of regular foods for you and I, how many things are going to be subject to the Yisur Kares in our Mishnah? So in my extensive research of looking over the Mishnah, so there are three items in the Mishnah that are chulin items, but are not going to, and are going to have an Yisur Kares. And they are, in our Mishnah, it's dam, it's chalev, and it's chametz. That's it. Those are the three food items which are going to be the subject to an Yisur Kares. Yes, it's true, if you eat on Yom Kippur, you're also going to be subject to the Yisur Kares, as we learned in our Mishnah, but that's more on Yom Kippur than it's on the food. Okay. So fine. So three Yisurim which are going to be subject to the to an Yisur Kares of three Yisuri Achila which are going to be subject to the Yisur Kares. That is not connected to Karbanos. Fine. So blood's in rarefied air. Not all blood is going to be subject to the Yisur Kares. Some blood is going to be Asur with a Chiyuv of Kares. Some is only going to be a Lav, which is still an Yisur Minatorah. And some blood, the consumption of blood, is going to be an Yisur of Marasayin. So basically what we're going to discover over the course of this morning's daf is that there is blood, but it's going to be divided into categorically three categories. Actually, I can even add a fourth category. Some blood is mutar lagamrei. Okay, I could do that. There's dam, which is iser chiyuv kares, dam, which is alav, dam, which is asur midrabanan, which we'll see at the end of today's daf. And then under certain circumstances, some dam is mutar lagamrei. Okay. We'll discuss. Okay, our Mishnah starts off. We are on Chaf Amud Beis, Achol Dam Shechita Bebehema Bechai Ba'Of. So if one were to consume the blood of a shechted animal of either Behema Chaya or Of, Behema Chaya, as we discussed extensively back in Chulin, are animals. The Behema is a domesticated animal. Chaya is a wild animal. That's not a precise definition. The Gemara in Chulin back then gave us a much more precise definition of how to discriminate between a chaya and a behemah and a chaya. But for our purposes right now, it's a good way to describe it and to look at it. Behemah is a domesticated animal, and chaya is a wild animal. The blood of either one of them would be usher. And as we're going to learn in just a moment, with a chiyuv kares. Remember, when it comes to behemah and chaya, that's not true by the chaylev. Right, the chaylev of behemah is asur. The chaylev of a chay is mutter. So when it comes to the isur chaylev, so there's a very clear distinction between behemah and chaya. But when it comes to the isur dam, so they are on equal footing with one another. Same thing with oaf, same thing with birds as well. Bein tamei, bein tarim. And here by the isur of dam, we're not going to discriminate between kosher and non-kosher types. Meaning the blood of all animals are going to be asur with an isur of with a chiyuv karis. Dam nichira, dam ikur. Whether it's the blood that was extracted through Shechita, that was the first psak of the Mishnah, or whether it was extracted through Dam Nechira. Let's say you didn't shech the animal, but you did Nechira. Nechira basically means killing the animal in any other way. There is a technical discussion and/debate exactly what Nechira has done. The word Nechira may come from the word nostrils, which means that you're sticking the knife into the front of the animal, into the nasal passages of the animal, and then you just simply slice down. But whatever the case is, the point is that you're killing the animal in a manner other than shechita. Mm-hmm. Ikur also, same basic idea. In other words, you didn't do the shechita properly. It could be talking about ikur simanim, where the pipes now are dislocated out of its place, which is one of the five psulei shechita. Again, the point of the Mishnah is very simple. It doesn't matter whether the animal shechted or not shechted properly. The blood that comes out is asur. Damakaze, shanashama yotzazbo. Let's say it's the blood of a wound, but it's a serious wound. It's a critical wound where if the animal continues to bleed, it's going to bleed out and die. So this blood as well. So chayav and alav, so you're going to be chayav for these types of bloods. Now, we're being very specific over here when we're talking about a blood of a wound. That has to be a critical wound, and it's for a very good reason. Because right now, what our Mishnah is doing is it's enumerating the types of blood that one's going to be subject to a chiyuv kares. Meaning, if it's the wound of an animal where it's not going to bleed out, that blood is also going to be usher. But that blood is not going to be usher with a chiyuv kares. It's only going to be a lav. That point is going to be clear. In fact, in our Mishnah, that point will be made clear. I'm just setting it up where we understand that the blood shanashama tluya bo, that's the dam which is going to be a chiyuv kares. Dam tchol, dam alev, dam beitzim, dam chagavim, dam tamsins ein chayavin alav. Now, so contrasting, our Mishnah is going to go through the list of types of blood that are not going to be subject to a chiyuv kares, but will only be alav. Only alav, by the way, I'm saying, of course, in relative terms, relative to the chiyuv kares, which is the first half of the Mishnah. The blood of the spleen, the blood of the heart, the blood of the beitzim. Beitzim Rashi says one of two possibilities. Either beitzim over here refers to the testicles of a male animal, or Rashi says it's referring to the actual eggs of a bird. And a little bit later, we'll go back to this Rashi.
The afterbirth.
No, what? Which, what? Who, what?
You say the blood of the birth. You mean the...
Either the blood of... Either the blood of the testicles or the blood of the eggs.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
So, dam beitzim, dam chagavim, or the blood of grasshoppers, dam atamtsis, or the blood that drips out after the first gush. When you shech an animal, so there's a rush of blood that comes out, that's dam shanashama tluya bo. After that, there's blood that you drain out. You push on the animal, the blood comes out. So that's dam atamsis. So you're not chayiv for them. Now, clarification of the Mishnah, you're not chayiv in iser kares for them. They're all going to be still subject to a lav, but in other words, the Mishnah is just simply contrasting which bloods are subject to a chiyuv kares and which bloods are not subject to a chiyuv kares. As I point out in the beginning of Shir today, in the broader contrast of what is this Mishnah doing here in our Masechta, that's really a takeoff from the first Mishnah. Well, the first Mishnah was talking about the Isurei Kares. So therefore, our Mishnah now is clearly segregating which bloods are subject to that Chiyuv Kares and which bloods are not. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Dama Tamsis. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that Dama Tamsis is subject to a Chiyuv Kares, which means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, not only is that first rush of blood that comes out going to be a Chiyuv Kares, but even the blood that comes out subsequently also is going to be subject to a Chiyuv Kares. He learns it via Drasha. We saw the Drasha earlier in the Masechta, and most probably we're going to see it again. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah, through the Mishnah. And so what the Mishnah has taught us is that there are some bloods that are subject to a Chiyuv Kares and some bloods that come of an animal that are only going to be a lav, not a Chiyuv Kares. Tanu Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, which is going to teach us how we got to this point. The Mishnah just simply gives us the facts, and what the Braisa is about to do with us is give us the facts, but via drush. How do we darshan it from the Psukim? Kol dam lo sochelu. We are looking right now in Parshat Tzav in the seventh parak of Vayikra. The Torah over there introduces us to the Isra of Dam, Kol Dam Lo Sochelu. Torah says you're not allowed to eat all bloods. Shamei Ani Afilu Dam Mahachishtaim. What about the blood of Mahachishtaim? You know, those people who walk on two legs? We have another word to describe them. We call them humans. Okay? You and I.
What
did
he use that?
Why Mahachishtaim?
Yeah,
right. Why the term Mahachishtaim? So I have a suggestion. I will tell you offline. Okay. I actually have a suggestion. So Afilu Dam Mahachishtaim. So I might have thought the Havamina would be that even Dam Adam would be subject to the Isser. Dam Beitzim, Dam Chagavim, Dam Dagim. So and also the blood of grasshoppers, the blood of fish. So Hakol Bechlal, meaning if the Torah would have not modified from this point going forward, we would have said Kol means all blood. That's a good Havamina. So Tam Lamar Lo Afilu Behema. But if you read on in that pasuk, the Torah goes on to describe which bloods, the bloods of bird and that of animals. Ma'ofa behema miyuchadim shiyesh bahem. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to extract the characteristics of the birds and animals. The characteristics. Now if we're talking about characteristics, so you know what's coming up ahead. This sounds like klal uprat uklal. When we have a drasha using the methodology of klal uprat uklal, so we take the examples, we extract the characteristics of those examples, and they will now set the model of those things where the blood is going to be prohibited. The Gemara later on is going to ask the question, why not just simply say it's klal uprat? Why are we saying it's klal uprat uklal? So we'll familiarize ourselves with the pasuk a little bit later on. We'll see why that is, but just, you know, sneak peek of coming attractions, you know we're talking here about characteristics because, I'm sorry, you know we're talking about klal uprat uklal because we're looking at characteristics. What are the characteristics of birds and animals? Sheyesh b'hem tumah kala v'tumah chamura. So first of all, when it comes to birds and animals, they are subject to both being tumah chamura and tumah kala. With tumah chamura, they can become a source of tumah. Right? When I have either with an animal that goes unshechted, so it's going to be an avela, and even by a bird. A bird is going to be subject to nivlas of tahor, that if you ingest a kezias of a bird that is an avela, so you're going to be subject to becoming tummy. So you have, both by animals and by birds, you have an avatama. That's tumah chamura. What about tumah kala? Tumah kala is food. When anything is rendered in edible food, so that food now is susceptible to tumah. It's not going to be a source of tumah, but it's susceptible to tumah. So you can have the meat of animals and birds both being a source of tumah chamura and tumah kala. And obviously the point is we're going to contrast this all to all other creatures. This is not going to be true by the other creatures, and all this will be articulated throughout today's daf. V'ishbahem isser v'heter. Now there's also isser v'heter when it comes to these animals, meaning animals and birds have isser v'heter. Now what does that mean, they have isser v'heter? So we'll wait, because the Gemara is going to explain what that means. V'hin min basar, and they're also a type of meat. Av kol sheyesh bahem tumah kala, and so that means to say that we're going to exclude anything that does not share these characteristics. V'heter v'hin min basar. Av kol sheyesh bahem tumah kala. Otsi, etc., etc. And so therefore, the only things that are going to be subject to the Isser Kares are going to be those things that share these characteristics. What is excluded? Otsi damah chishayim sheish bem tumah chamur veim bem tumah kala. So when it comes to humans, there is tumah chamura. The remains of a human being is going to be an avatuma. But there is no tumah kala as it relates to a human. A human, the remains of human, cannot be rendered food so that it becomes susceptible to tumah. Otsi damshe shratzim she'in behem tumah chamura. And also it's coming to exclude the blood of shratzim, which they don't have tumah chamura. The blood of shratzim don't have tumah chamura? What could that mean? Meaning a sheretz, eight of the shratzim are going to be an avatuma. And they're going to be metameh be'maga. So how does the b'risa get away with saying that, well, we're excluding shratzim because they're not subject to tumah chamura? Eight of them are. So Rashi over here, if you take a look at Rashi on the top of the Amud, so he writes, Otsi dam shratzim shein bam tumah chamura, shein shratzim tameim adam litame begadim. So yes, it's true that a sheretz is going to be an avatuma, and yes, it's true if you touch a sheretz, a dead sheretz, not any, by the way, the eight mentioned in Parsha Shmini, so yes, it's true you are going to be tameh, but even as a tumah chamura, it's a milder tumah chamura. The way Rashi describes it is that when you touch Nevela, for example, so not only do you become tummy, but your clothing that you're wearing also going to be tummy as well. So that's the tumah chamur that we have regarding Nevela. When it comes to tumah sheretz, only you become tummy, but the clothing you're wearing does not become tummy. So it signifies that it's a milder tumah chamura. Otsi dam beitzim she'in min basar. Now the dam of beitzim, which is not min basar, it's not a type of basar. Now if you go back to what we learned in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says not dam beitzim, so Rashi over there gave two pshatim. One pshat Rashi says is that it's talking about the testicles. Another one is it's talking about the blood found in the eggs. Tosus points out, it's on the bottom of the previous Amud, that our Gemara over here seems to be talking about the egg blood, not the testicle blood. Why? Because Otsi Dam Beitzim, let's just reread the line of the Gemara. Otsi Dam Beitzim She'ein Min Basar. Well, we're excluding the Beitzim because they're not a Min Basar. So presumably we're talking about eggs and not the testicles. Okay, so it fits in better with the with one pshat in Rashi, not the other. And Tosfos already makes this observation on the bottom of the previous Amud. Dam dagim dam chagavim, continuing now in the Gemara. What about the blood of fish? The blood of chagavim, a grasshopper, shekulan heter. Now it's kulan heter. We're going to explain what that means better a little bit later on. Okay. So what do we have over here? So we have a brisa that teaches us that when the Torah introduces us to the Isser of Dam in Parshat Tzav, so it says called behema, but then it gives the examples of of. It says called dam, then it gives the examples of of and behema. And so what we're doing is we're extracting the characteristics of of and behema, whatever shares these characteristics, so they're going to be subject to the Isser Kares of Achilas Dam. Whatever does not share these characteristics is going to not have the Isser Kares. So far, what is in, what's out? So it's very simple. Of and behema are in, and so far, pretty much everything else is out. The blood of Adam, the blood of Dagim Chagavim, the blood of Beitzim, they are all going to be out. Now, when I say out, by the way, just keep in mind, it just simply means out of Isser Kares. Okay. And we are going to further define what is Lav, what's Maris Ayin, what's Mutalagamre, that's coming up later over the course of today's daf. La'ofel behema, continuing in the Gemara, we're third line down on Chafal from an Aleph. La'ofel behema ima of sheim ba'kalayim af behema sheim ba'kalayim. So if we went with the Torah's descriptions of Ofen Behema, I might have thought, you know, by Ov, there's no Isser Kalim when it comes to Ov. Now, what did the Gemara mean by that? There's no Isser Kalim when it comes to Ov. So stay tuned, because the Gemara itself is going to wonder, what does that mean? So to Behema Imba Kalim. Tamalamar Ula Behema. So the Torah says Ula Behema to tell me that no, even though the Behema is subject to the Isser of Kalim, so that includes even Behema, meaning what the Gemara is doing now. Sorry, I should have been clear. The exercise of the Gemara right now is, if we're looking for characteristics, why not just mention one of the two? Just mention Ofer, mention Behema. Why does he need both? Mm-hmm. So I need Behema because, you know, with Ofer, there's no Isser Kalim, which, again, we're going to explain better in just a bit. So Behema is coming to tell me, because Behema is subject to Kalim, so that's why the Torah has to say Behema. And Ima Behema Sheina Be'im Al Habanim Af Of Sheina Be'im Al Habanim Tamar Lamar Lo Ofer Lo Behema. And when it comes to animals, you know, animals don't have the isser of shiluach hakein. Only birds have the isser slash mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Mm-hmm. So if the Torah only would have said behema, not oaf, well, I said, well, look, behema is not subject to the mitzvah slash isser of shiluach hakein, so maybe not birds. So again, a clarification of why I need both. I need both behema and I need oaf. The ema, so the Gemara says, okay. Now, in terms of methodology, so what did we do? We looked at the two examples of Behema and Ov. We looked at the characteristics, and we extracted those characteristics. The Gemara says, why are you making all this so complicated? Ve'ema kol dam klal, Ov u'behema prat, kalal prat, ima klal el masha beprat. Ov u'behema in midiach min elo. So just make it so simple. Just simply tell me, look, the Torah, the way he presents the Isser of dam, it mentions kol dam, then it gives us the examples. So this is klal followed by prat, ein b'klal el masha beprat. So it's only the examples, and we don't have to seek characteristics and look what's a match with those characteristics. Just work with the only examples that are given in the Torah. Asher tochal kodam chazur klal. So the Gemara says, okay, but if you look at the end of the pasuk concludes by saying asher tochal kodam. So what do we have at the end of the pasuk? Another klal, meaning we can't ignore the fact that the Torah presents it in the method of klal uprat uklal. So this is now klal. Klal uprat uklal yata dan elakena prat. So now we know that because the Torah frames the examples between two generalities, so now we know the method is klal uprat uklal. V'halo dami klal basra l'klal kama. So the Gemara now goes over a very technical point. And that is, in order for it to be klal uprat uklal, we have to have a generality, then the examples and the generality, and the generalities have to match one another. Meaning that the bookmarks of the klal uprat uklal have to be talking about the same thing. Here, it's not exactly the same. It's not exactly the same. Because in the first klal of the pasuk, the Torah only introduces us to a lav. The Gemara is going to make this point now very clearly. Lo dami klal basra klal kama lav. Klal basra kares. In the first klal, the Torah just simply says lo, not to. And lo sochelu. And at the end of the pasuk, it says, it rolls out that there's an isser kares. So the first klal is a lav. The second klal is an isser kares. And now that's not a match. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not a match. This point that a klal can only be used for klal part of klal when it's a perfect match is open for a dispute, a debate. And we are right now subscribing to the viewpoint that it's good enough. So hai tana debay Rabbi Yishmael klal part darshinan min hadin gavna va'afa gav do adam klal basra l'klal kama. It happens to be the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael. Now Rabbi Yishmael is not the only one who subscribes to klal part of klal. He popularized it, meaning he put it in the beginning of the Sifra, so that we attribute it to Rabbi Yishmael. But within Klal Uprat Uklal, there still are many debates in terms of application of this rule. And it happens to be the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael who maintains that even though it is not a perfect match, the first klal and the second klal, it is good enough in order to use it through this methodology. Amar Mar. Continuing in the Gemara, Klal Uprat Uklal, Iyata Dan, Ela Ke'ena Pram, Ma'aprat Mefurash. So here we are going to go over now the characteristics of the animals and birds, in which we're now going to say that anything that shares those characteristics is going to be subject to the Isser Dam with a Chiyuv of Kares. So number one, characteristic number one, Davar Sheyesh Bo Tuma Kala v'Tuma Chamura. So as we already pointed out, so by birds and by animals, they have Tuma Kala and Tuma Chamura. Tuma Chamura, again, it's a source of Tuma. Tuma Kala, it's a food which can become susceptible to Tuma. Number two, V'yesh Bo Isser V'Heter. It also has Isser V'Heter. Yet to be explained what that means. We're going to. Number three, v'yesh bahem min basar. And it's also min basar. Again, we're going to explain what that means also. Av kol davar sheyesh bo tumakala v'tumachamura. So anything else now that shares these characteristics are going to be subject to the Isser of Dam with the Chiyuv Karis. Okay. After having gone through the entire klal prado klal and extracting all the characteristics, now we have a wonderful question which the Gemara is going to ask. What are we including? Meaning we know what we're excluding. The Gemara has shared with us already what is off the table in terms of the Chiyuv Karis. What is on the table? So what do we gain now from this entire klal prado klal exercise? So I've called the Tanya Lasuri Mai, and that's the Gemara's very next question. So what are we now coming to include? Amravada Bravin Lasuri Damashokoi. So the Gemara says what we're coming to include is the blood of a koi. Koi is an animal which is slightly undefined. We know that it's a behemoth. On the other hand, it also is a chaya. Or maybe it's one of the two. There's also another possibility, which is Birya Bifte Atzma. That's its own independent category. Okay. But we are going to right now, well, you'll see the Gemara is going to entertain these possibilities. But let's assume right now that the koi is a suffik behemoth or a suffik chaya. Let's just say it like that. So Micah suffers. So the Gemara says, well, this point needs clarification. Ikas of a koi sfeika, who it's a krala meis sfeika. So the Gemara says, let's say we're in a state of suffik regarding a koi. It may be a behemoth, maybe a chaya. We're not sure. So the Gemara says, okay, so what? Ah, perfect. That's exactly the Gemara's point. Excellent. So the Gemara says, so we're not sure. So the Gemara says, okay, but whichever side we are on the uncertainty, it's still going to be an Isser. The Dama Behema Zasser, the Dama of Chaya Zasser, they're both Chiyuv Kares. So if our Koi is either a Behema or it's a Chaya, so on either side of this issue, it's going to be an Isser Kares. So the Gemara says, obviously, when we're coming to include the Koi, we're not subscribing to that viewpoint. Koi Behema. So the Gemara says, okay, so this is obviously what we must be maintaining. When I say we, I mean it's the Amara who introduced it. It's Rav Ada Bar Avin. So he's maintaining that a koi is a berib b'fnei atzma. So it maintains its own independent category. Right. Is it a behema? No. Is it a chaya? No. What is it? Exactly. It's a koi. It's its own independent category. Now, we've just established, based on our klal prado klal, that the inclusion, the ribui now, in terms of what's on the table, in terms of the chiyuv karis, is the dam koi. So the Gemara now says, okay, the dam koi is going to be asur. What about the other yisurim? Is that also going to be also by the koi? Chelbo minan. What about the chelav of the koi? So mikol chelav. So the pasuk, when introducing us to the Isser of chelav, says kol chelav, and the kol over there is coming to include a koi. Nivla so minala minayan. What about the nevela of a koi? How do we know that that's aser? Mikol nevela. So we also have a drasha for that. Kol nevela. Gidanasha minalan. What about the gidanasha of a koi? So bekafa yerech tal yerech mana va'islay kafa yerech. So in terms of the Isser of gidanasha. So what determines the halacha of the Isser of Gidanasha? It's an anatomical definition. If you have a thigh bone that mimics that of an animal, and for that matter also that of a human, remember, the entire Isser of Gidanasha started with a human being, Yaakov Avinu. So as long as you have structurally, anatomically, a thigh bone that looks like the thigh bone of an animal, so that you're subject to the Isser of Gidanasha. The koi is an anatomical match, and therefore it's going to be subject to the Isser of Gidanasha. Tum aso v'shchita minalan. What about tumma? What about shchita for a koi? So svara. So the Gemara says at this point in time, it's logical. Why? Look, we just said that when it comes to a koi, its blood is aser, its chelav is aser, it's a nevela, etc., etc. So at this point in time, right, if it, how's the expression go? If it quacks like a duck, if it, you know, yeah. Okay, good. Walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. Okay, no, of course. But in terms of the Isurim, so it's going to be sharing all the Isurim. And also the idea of Shkita as well. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to, now we know what's included. So, through the methodology of Klal Prado Klal, we have now learned the pasuk regarding Dam, which blood is going to be subject to the Isser Kares, that of Behemoth, that of Oaf, and that of Koi as well. What's off the table? What is no longer an Isser Kares? So we already saw the Braisa speak it out, but there were so many points in the Braisa that were difficult to understand, and what the Gemara now is going to do systematically is go through the points in the Braisa and look to clarify so many points that we made. Amar Marutzi Dame Mehalche Shtaim Sheyesh Bahem Tumachamura Ve'in Bahem Tumachala. So here, right, certainly an uncomfortable discussion, but the Gemara says, you know, when it comes to human remains, so it's tumah chamura and it's not tumah kala. Tuma chamor means it's a source of tuma, right? That we all know. Mm-hmm. The remains, human remains, is an avatuma. It's avi avosa tuma. So it's certainly a source of tuma. But we said flatly that it is not subject to tumakala, meaning it can't be rendered an edible food, so that it becomes susceptible to tuma. Oriminu, now the Gemara says, now on this, you know that's not true. Or we're going to learn together it's not true. Hachotech min ha'adam sarach machshava v'hechsher. Cut off a piece of human flesh, so for it to become tamei with tumas ochlin, so it needs machshava and it needs hechsher. Machshava means that a food is only a food when people consider it to be edible. That's machshava. And hechsher, of course, means that it has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids in order for it to become now mukhshar lekabel tuma. Now it's ready to receive tuma. So, now mind you, by the way, not so long ago in the Gemara, we learned about the fact that limbs that come off of a human being are going to be an avatuma. Remember our people who prepared themselves before Karban Pesach, right? And they had limbs that were dangling limbs. And remember the method that we went through in order to separate their limbs from the rest of their body. And it was a, right? You remember? All right, they stuck their arms on the door. They pinned it into the door, and then they just quickly jerked away. And one day they had the doctor give a severance to where there's only chud hasa'ara left. In other words, just a little bit of connective tissue connecting him to the limb. And then what he does is that with a quick jerk, he separates himself from the rest of the limb. And the reason why he did so, if you remember, is because he wanted to eat Karban Pesach. The doctor wanted to eat Karban Pesach. And with a quick jerking motion, so therefore he'll detach himself from his limb and he won't become tummy. From that Gemara, it sounds pretty clear that the limb of a human is going to be an avatuma. Our discussion over here in our Gemara seems to be only describing a piece of flesh. A piece of human flesh, when cut off the body, is not going to be an avatuma as long as the person himself is still alive. Okay. So, right, just to make a simple distinction between the Gemaras that we learned previously and the Gemara we're learning right now. So when it comes to human flesh, we said that in order for it to become tumakala, in order for it to become food tumas ochlin, it needs machshav and hechsher. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second, v'kashila machshava lamali tasech haticha shela machshava. So in terms of machshava, the Gemara says, I'm really confused. If you're cutting it off the person, that's machshav, isn't it? So the Gemara here, now the discussion becomes technical. Well, you cut it off so that a dog can eat it. And that's not a machshava. The Gemara says, but that's not true. The Gemara here quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Taharos, and the Mishnah teaches us, klalam rubet tuma kolam yuchel echol adam, tame ashi pasam achilas kelav. When it comes to tumas ochlin, if it is consumable by humans, it remains tumas ochlin, it remains a status of ochlin, until it can no longer be consumed by a dog. So you see that when it comes to achilas kalev, as long as the dog can eat it, it's still going to be subject to the tumas ochlin, or eligible for tumas ochlin. So the Gemara says, you're right, but that doesn't play a factor in our discussion. Hahu la'asuke tumamine. That's only talking about where the food is tamei, and we're talking about at what point does the tuma go off of the food. Where it was fit to be eaten by humans, and it becomes tamei, so at what point now is the tuma going to go away? At what point is it no longer considered a food so that the tuma goes off? That's when it's pasul me'achilas kalaf. But hachala achuse le'tuma. Over here we're talking about when it originally becomes the food so that it can become tameh. So, ichazel adam chazel akalav, and ilo chazel adam lo chazel akalav. For that, it's only a food when it is consumable by humans, not consumable only for dogs. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so those were the technical issues of machshava. But beyond that, if we're saying the words machshava and heksher, as it relates to the flesh that comes off of the human, it means, of course, that we're viewing it as tumas ochlin. Now, the Braisa says that the dam of Mahal Cheshtayim, the dam of Adam, is excluded because there's no tumakala. What do you mean there's no tumakala? We just learned together there is tumakala. So, hani mili mechayim avalach misa tamehu. So, the Gemara says that's true. When it comes to a human, so while the human is alive, so then yes, cutting off some of the flesh can render it tumakala, and you're right. But we're talking about post-mortem. We're talking about after death. After death, when it comes to a human, so there is only one thing that happens to the remains of a human post-mortem, tumah chamura, not tumah kala. So the Gemara says, interesting. Let's do the same thing with animals. So the Gemara says, tumah chamura dekavaseka bebehema, la'achemisa, ibasa metame tumah chamura, v'imda metame tumah chamura. So the Gemara says, okay, an animal post-mortem is only tumah chamura. It's only an ava tumah, it's a source of tumah. It cannot be rendered tumah kala because it's already and only tumah chamura. Both the flesh of an animal post-mortem and also the blood as well. Now, how do I know the blood did not? That's a Mishnah. Dam nevelos beis shamim metarim beis shalom metamin. So my chokes between beis shamim and beis shalom, but beis shalom's position is that a blood of a nevela is tame, tumas nevela. So this is now an avatuma, not tumakala. So we are contrasting humans and animals, and the Gemara says, I don't understand the contrast as it relates to tuma. When it comes to Adam post-mortem, it's only tuma chamura. Isn't the same thing true by behema as well? It's a good question. The Gemara answers, lo nitzcha ela lechididnan. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following Mishnah. Nivlas behema tamea mikol makom, nivlas of tahara bikfarim. Tzarech machshava ve'ein tzarech hechsher. That when it comes to the carcass of a behema tamea, of a non-kosher animal, and when it comes to the carcass of a kosher bird in the villages, so it needs machshava, but it does not require hechsher. Interesting Mishnah. The Mishnah over here assumes that if an animal is an avela, no one's going to eat it. Now, we're not going to eat it because we keep kosher. Okay. Even non-Jews are not going to eat it. It's, in other words, the animal died on its own. Probably was a sickly animal. So if no one's going to eat it, so then in terms of Tumas Ochlin is concerned, it's by default, it's not going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. And the same thing could be said regarding birds as well. Bird dies on its own. So again, most people are not going to eat it. So for these items, so tzarech machshava ve'ein tzarech hechsher. So in terms of making it, giving it the status of food, it needs machshava. But in terms of the process of hechsher, it does not require hechsher. Now we're going to skip the parentheses, and it's just skipping one line. V'amalei rav l'rebi chia machshava lamalei tamakala higufa tamahi. So now the question, which hopefully we're all wondering. So we have now the nevela of a behemoth tmeah, right? The carcass of a non-kosher animal. So we're saying now that for it to become a tamei tumas ochlin, again, most people are not going to eat it, therefore, by default, it's not ochel. But if you have machshava, so then it can be an ochel. Meaning if somebody wants to eat it, so then it's an ochel. And therefore, it's subject to tamakala. To which the Gemara says, what? It's a nevela. What discussion are we having right now? When does it become a food? And when is it going to be subject to tumakala? It's a nevela, it's an avatuma. Like, what discussion are we having over here? So that is Rav's question to Rabbi Chia. And Amar Leike Gon, so Rabbi Chia explains to his nephew, Di'ika pachos michazayas, nevela. Vitzarfa la pachos michabetza ochlin, da'ivahai havikabetza. So the answer that the uncle proposes to his nephew is that, well, here's a scenario. Scenario is that you have you have a piece of this nevela, but you have a piece which is less than a kezias. If you have a kezias, so then it's going to be tumah tumah chamura. But you have a piece less than a kezias. Okay, so now in terms of nevela, you don't have enough of it for nevela. And what you do is you combine it with another food in order so that it gets the shear of a beitza. Remember, when it comes to tumas ochlin, the amount necessary of food in order for it to become tameh is going to be the size of a beitza. So I have less than a kezias of this nevela, coupled with other foods, and then if I have a totality of beitza of these two foods together, so it's going to be subject to tumas ochlin. But only if people are going to eat the nevela. That's why it requires machshava. It's a really technical answer, but okay. We're talking about tumah right now. We're just talking about tumah. I hachi li bai nami hechsher. So the Gemara says, okay, so fine. So you need machshava. Don't I need hechsher as well? So, in order for it to become subject to Tumas Ochlin, it needs Hechsher. All foods need Hechsher. And so over here, you're telling me, it's talking about this scenario that you just described, but what did the Mishnah teach us? Machshava, it requires. Hechsher, it does not require. Well, why doesn't it require Hechsher? It should require Hechsher. Amar lei hanimila b'ochlin de alma de leis bo pachos mechazayis nevela. Avahach the ika begave pachd mekazais nevela came in the ilum mitzarf lekazais la by a hechsher. Turn page. So don't turn page. We could just stop right here. La by hechsher. In terms of not requiring hechsher, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. It doesn't require hechsher. Because, is as a rule, anything that potentially could become tamachamura does not require hechsher for tamakala. And if you think about it, right, mistaber. To the best of our ability of understanding it, really it's mistaber. If something is potentially can become a source of tama, so it doesn't require any kind of special preparation for it to become eligible for tamakala. Since this nevela, even though you don't have a kazayis of it, but since the nevela is at least potentially eligible to become tamachamura, so therefore it does not require the hechsher for tamakala. It still requires machshava, because if no one wants to eat it, so then it's not a food. So it needs the machshava so that it can be rendered a food, but once it's rendered a food, it's now going to be susceptible to tuma. Okay, la'afuke meis. Now, it took us a while to get here, but we're here now. We now describe the scenario in which the flesh of an animal, is can be tuma chamura, and it could also be tuma kala. Tuma chamura, that's the regular nevela halacha. Tuma kala, okay, a little bit of a stretch in terms of the case, but you have less than a kazayis of it coupled with other foods. It's not going to be tumas nevela, but it will be a food so that it could be subject to tumakala, food tumas ochlin. Now, all this contrasting to that of humans. La'afuke meis, as we are now on the top of Amud Beis. La'afuke meis afagav de mimela leislo, de mamaya leilo mitami tumas ochlin mishum de balo daito eitzel kol adam. But when it comes to the remains of a human, so let's say, even with machshava, a person, it's such a such an uncomfortable gemara. Even when it comes to the human remains, even if a person says, you know what, so it's going to be part of my diet, but la daita eitzel kol adam, meaning it does not, at this point in time, since it is just not done, people don't think in these terms, so therefore his machshava will become totally nullified, negated to the machshava of all other people. Interesting. When it comes to the nivlas behema tamea, right? On the previous amud, some people do eat it. Right? In other words, even though the animal died on its own, and diseased animals are generally speaking didn't have to be a diseased animal. Could have also been just old age. Yeah. Okay. Right. Sorry. Okay. The Gemara is going to present another suggestion. Again, what are we trying to accomplish right now in the Gemara? We're contrasting the remains of an animal and the remains of a human, vis-a-vis tuma. And the Gemara says, Rav Chananya Amar Afilo Tema Davi Kezayis. We can even be talking about where it is the size of a kezayis, and still the contrast would exist. Now, Hachem Ma'iskin and Kagon, Shechifuhu Bebatseik. What you did is you took the remains of an animal, and what you did is you encased it in dough. Now, what do you gain by doing that? You can't touch it physically. You physically can't touch it. Now, you can carry it, but you can't touch it. So, So the Gemara says, okay, so it's a food. And it's only going to be subject to tuma kala. Shouldn't it require hechsher? So the Gemara says, "Hani mila ba'ochlan achrayna v'lomitam alei b'maga v'lo b'masa avahachni d'lomitam alei b'maga de'kamavchi b'batzeik b'masa miha litamei da'hata'un leing." So the Gemara says, okay, look, it doesn't require hechsher, and I'll tell you why. Because even though right now, because it's encased in dough, so it is not subject to tumas maga, but it's still nevela. And as we all know, nevela is tamei b'maga uvimasa. Both by touching the nevela and by carrying the nevela, carrying even without contact, one is going to be subject to tuma. So over here, because our nevela, although now literally encased so that it is not subject to tumas maga, but still it's nevela and therefore subject to tumas masa, it doesn't require hechsher by virtue of the fact that it can transmit tuma through tumas masa, so hechsher no longer becomes a prerequisite. So now we have a scenario when it comes to tumas nevela, where I encased it so that I prevent it from tumas maga. Can we say the same thing by human remains? No, we cannot. And that's the contrast. La'afuke tuma chamur de tuma bokava ola bokava yaradas. Remember that when it comes to the tuma of human remains, tumas meis, so there, even if encased, it's still the tuma is still going to come up and the tuma is still going to go down. So Ola v'yored. And so therefore you put your hand right on top of it, and so you are going to become tame. By the way, it sounds like from our Gemara, I know we discussed this elsewhere when discussing Tumas Mace, it sounds like from our Gemara that the Tumas Ohel is really a subcategory within Tumas Maga, because we're contrasting the Maga of Nevela and the Maga of Mace. In two ways now, we just contrasted the Tumah of a human to that of an animal, and the reason why we've been spending so much time on this topic is because our Gemara said that in terms of which dam is subject to the Isser Kares and which dam is not. So when the Torah says Ofen Behema, that's excluding humans. Why? Because their tumas do not behave in the same manner. Animals are Chamur and Kala. Humans are only Chamur and not Kala. And now, it took a while, but now we're here. We now understand the contrast. When it comes to, and we're describing it only post-mortem tumah. So when it comes to animals, even post-mortem, it could be subject to tumah Chamur and tumah Kala. How could it be both? So we went over a number of scenarios of how it could be both. When it comes to human remains, it's only Tumah Chamura and it's not Tumah Kala. Okay. Amar Mar. Yasa Dam Dagim V'Dam Chagav M'Shekulam Heter. Another characteristic that when it comes to birds and animals is that it's Isser, but when it comes to Dagim V'Chagavim, Kulan Heter. It's Heter. What does that mean? So my Kula Heter. That's Gemara's point or question. Are we saying that the chalav of dagim and chagavim are mutter? And I think it also begs just a very fundamental question. Do dagim and chagavim have chalav? Okay, I don't know. So, harechaya, but the Gemara just makes the question moot all to begin with. Harechaya de chaba mutter. V'dam aser. Well, look. Obviously, dam cannot be tagged along with chaylev because, as we already made the point, but now the Gemara is making clear, when it comes to a chaya, the chaylev of chaya is mutter, and the dam of chaya is going to be aser. So obviously, over here, the point is not that there's a correlation between dam and chaylev. Okay, so that's off the table. Ve'ela mishum deleis behu iser get anasha. Ah, maybe there's no iser get anasha. So the Gemara says, v'aria of deleis behu iser get anasha, v'damo aser. Again, there's no correlation between blood and get anasha, because birds. Birds don't have the Isser of Get Anasha. Again, as I pointed out earlier this morning, you need the anatomical match. Birds don't have it. And so therefore, they're not subject to the Isser of Get Anasha. And the blood of birds are going to be Asr. Ela mai kulo heter dela bai shchita. Ah, so the kulo heter, you know what it means? Very good. It means there's no requirement of shchita. When it comes to an animal, when it comes to a bird, in order for us to consume it, so there's a requirement of shchita. Shchita and only shchita is the matir for us to be able to consume it. But when it comes to fish and grasshoppers, so what do you need? Asifa. You just simply need to collect it. You go fishing. You go fishing, catch a good one, and that's it. You can eat it. So, but there's no shchita requirement when it comes to fish, and neither for grasshoppers as well. Just collection, and of course, wait for it to die. Eat it while it's alive. We learned earlier, balteshakso, meaning it's abhorrent behavior. Amar mar ma ov she'ein bo kalaim af behema. When it comes to a bird, there's no climb. So the behemoth is there to teach us that even animals are subject to climb. What did we mean by that? What did the Brisa mean by that? Gemara goes on to explain. So Tamalomer behemoth, climb demai. What are we talking about when we say climb? Now elam climb de harva, climb de harisha. Are we talking about crossbreeding? Are we talking about crossworking? V'atanan chayva of kayotze behem. So the Mishnah tells us. The Mishnah taught us that when it comes to the Isser of Kalayim, both by Harva and by Avoda and Harisha, so it's not only limited to animals, it's also true by Chaya, it's also true by birds. Meaning, I can't crossbreed birds, I can't crossbreed Chaya. So you're telling me that we're contrasting the halachas of Kalayim of birds and animals? It's not a contrast, they're the same. Elam Rabbi, Shet Simar Ein Chayav Melam Mishum Kalayim. Ah, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about Semer. When it comes to the wool that comes off of an animal, now wool of an animal, by the way, not all animals, really it's the wool of sheep. Okay, but still, when it comes to the wool of animals, so there's an Isser of Kalayim. I can't take that wool and weave it together with linen. However, when it comes to the birds, so the down. Thank you. So when you take the down that comes off of a bird, so there's mamish, no Isser Kalayim whatsoever when it comes to this down. And so therefore, that is the point the Braisa is contrasting. That even though in the category of birds there's mamish no iser kalayim of shatnes, of begadim, Nevertheless, that's why the Torah had to illustrate both behema and oath. I'm Rav Yudah Merav. Okay, so that has now taken us through the Braisa. What we have done up until this point in time in the Gemara is we introduced which are subject to the Isser Dam with the Chiyuv Kares. We learned the Braisa in the beginning of the Gemara that went through the drushas of Klal or part of Klal. All the points that were made in the Braisa, why the Torah had to say both Behema and Oaf. What is it coming to exclude? What are the characteristics of Behema and Oaf? What is it? What are those characteristics coming to include? Koi. What is it coming to exclude? Dam Adam, Dam Shratzim, Dam Chagavim. Exclusion over here just simply means at this point in time, excluded from the Isser Kares. So we have now covered the Braisa. Took almost the entire daf to do so, but we're there. Amar Rav Yudah Merav, Dam Shratzim, Lokan Alav, Bechizais. We are going to cover right now the halach, one more halacha for this morning, the halacha of Rav Yudah Merav. Dam Sheretz is subject to Malkus. If you eat a kezais of Dam Sheretz, you're going to get Malkus. Meisvei, the Gemara says, what? Dam Atchol, Dam Halev, Dam Aklayas, Dam Ivarim, Hareu Belo Saseh. Gemara quotes a brisa, it's a Tosefta, that teaches us that the blood of spleen, the blood of the heart, the blood of the kidney, the blood of all limbs, they are a lav. So eating, consuming these bloods is subject to an Issur Torah, not kares, but still an Issur Torah. Dam mahalche shtayim. Dam mahalche shtayim, dam shratzim v'ramasim. Aser v'chein v'ein chayav v'nalav. When it comes to the blood of humans, when it comes to the blood of shratzim v'ramasim, so there's no chiyuv. And presumably, if you look at the brisa and the contrast on the brisa, it's not even a lav. Now, my ain chayav and alav kares, alav mechayav. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what it meant is that it's not chayav kares, but chayav alav. The Gemara says, I don't think that's the pshat in the Braisa. Read the Braisa carefully. Chada dahainu resha. Well, why would the Braisa then issue its statements in two separate categories? In other words, in the first category, we said, not kares, but alav. Now, the next category seems to drop it down a level below. That's number one. The od tana milav na mikamamayle diktani yasadam shuratzim she'ein bem tumachamura, and on top of that also we said in the beginning of today's shir that dam shuratzim are excluded because they don't have tumachamura, and its exclusion seems to be even from a lav. Amar Rabbi Zeira hisra b'mishum sheretz loke mishum dam. I'm sorry, loke mishum dam ain't loke. So Rabbi Zeira says, I'll give you pshat and I'll give you a good pshat as well. When it comes to animals, when it comes to humans, when it comes to birds. So the dam and the basar are two distinct entities. They're both aser. When I say both, meaning when it comes to an animal, the flesh could be aser if it's an avela, if it's trefa, etc. But just in terms of how to categorize it, they come in two different categories. The blood is its own separate iser. When it comes to the dam of a sheretz, the dam of the sheretz is part and parcel of the sheretz. Meaning dam sheretz is sheretz, which means then that if a person eats the blood of a sheretz. So if the warning that's issued is they don't eat it because it's sheretz, so then, just like sheretz is aser, the dam is also going to be aser as well. But if you say to the person, don't eat it because blood is aser, the warning that's issued is incorrect. Because the dam sheretz is not considered dam, it's considered sheretz. That's all that Rav meant. Rav meant that when you eat dam sheretz, you're subject to malchus, not because of the iser of dam, but rather because of the iser of sheretz. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, we open up with Mar Sinai. And the issues of Mar Sinai as it relates to Dam.